Answering God's call is the title of today's message, taken from Exodus chapter 4 and verses 1 to 18. God's call is an irresistible call. And he makes no mistakes. When he calls his servant to service, when he brings you to the church, and when he brings you to serve him, in every area that he has touched your heart to be a witness for him, we praise the Lord that the work of faith impacts eternity, that God uses human vessels to fulfill his heavenly task. What a privilege to serve the Almighty God, and yet there can be reluctance and resistance on the part of God's people to serve the living and true God. God prepares his men, and in the fullness of time, he calls, and onus is on our part to report for duty. When the marching orders come, we are to be ready for the job, for the work assigned to us. How is it that there are times when God's servant hesitates to fulfill God's call? Moses, the man that we have been studying this past few weeks, was one person in point, for he gave five excuses, or rather four excuses and a real reason, when God called him out of the burning bush to go and speak to Pharaoh and to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. What did he say? I'm inadequate for the task. Chapter 3 and verse 11. He says, I don't know enough. Chapter 3 and verse 13, which we saw last week. And here in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, your plan won't work. He says, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. And he would go on to say in verse 10, I'm not eloquent enough. For reasons, as it were. And finally, when God would allay all his fears and take away all the excuses, he says to the Lord in verse 13, I won't go. He says, I pray you, by the hand of him whom thou hast sent, send another man. God's anger was kindled upon his servant. And for those of us who have been meditating on Moses' call at the burning bush, what was the work that was given to Moses? What did God say to him? Well, at the end of chapter 2, the Lord has seen the affliction of his people. The Lord said, I have seen what they have been experienced, the hardship in Egypt, and that I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And the Lord also says, I know their sorrows. And the Lord says, I am come down to deliver them. You see how God is fully aware of what is going on in the life of His people. And the Lord has a plan, a mighty plan to lead His people. And He wants us to know. He wants us to see. And that He indeed is the God of the universe. And He has made us that we may fellowship with Him to be His witness. So the Lord said to him, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land. And seventh, unto a good land and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey. That you see in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15 to 17. The Lord gave to Moses very definitive and very positive and very clear instructions what He would do for them from beginning to end. And He tells them to go forth. Moses is to take that mandate and go forth. Isn't this the call that God gave to His church? The gospel mandate that the word of God that goes out shall not return unto Him void, but it shall accomplish that which He pleases. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto He sends it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. When Jesus gave the great commission, He said in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The great commission that was given to the church of Jesus Christ. Today we see a part of it fulfilled, isn't it? We go out, share the gospel, and the Lord has brought some here in our midst. And how the Lord has given them a conviction to believe in Jesus Christ, the living and true God, and come to faith, and how they have brought others. And Jesus says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. A commission to impact men and women destined for eternal damnation in hellfire, to impact them for life with good eternally. And this is what the Lord has that plan, in which Moses was God's instrument to fulfill a portion of that plan. But we observe that at the age of 80, here at the burning bush, when God finally called him, when God finally said to him, now is the time to go, he was most reluctant. He was shrinking, trying to flee and escape. What has happened to him in the 40 years? He was in solitude. Perhaps that solitude has sobered the man. He began to see things more clearly. His own inadequacies, his own failures, keeping sheep must have tamed the man Moses day in, day out. He was with the sheep who cannot speak and respond to him. Dumb sheep, we said. Well, this was his vocation for 40 years. God had brought him there for that task. And he saw difficulties in himself. He saw difficulty in the people, in the task. He began to see with the eye of the humongous task that was before him. And he had already tried and failed 40 years ago. And after so many years, he has been out of touch with the people. He is now alone, there in the wilderness, in the desert. And although God has come to speak to him, in fact, this is the first time that God would speak to him, he must be shocked. And so we see how God had to lead him, encourage him, help him to see his purpose before giving him a conviction and a strength of heart for a monumental task that would change the history of the known world. God is going to raise a nation, the nation of Israel. And for it to be a nation, God has, through 400 years, raised the people, a multitude of 2 million. And while they would be out in the wilderness, God would give them the law, the constitution for the nation. And the Lord tells them that they would go in and possess the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. They would be a full-fledged nation. And God will use this nation as a witness to all the nations of the world. This was God's plan. Just as it's now in the church age, He's using the church as a witness to all people of every ethnic group, of every facet of society. He has His people for His time. And He works to prepare each and every individual so that each and every person may be sanctified and prepared to be fit for the Master's use. It was God's time, God's place, and God's purpose that God would place Moses right before him at the burning bush to beckon him to go before Pharaoh. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Verse 10 of our text tells us in verse chapter 3, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The Lord said to him, come now. Now. Now is the accepted time, God's time. While Moses waited upon the Lord for 40 years in the wilderness, now is the time for action. The Lord has His perfect time to do His perfect work, God would send him to the greatest power of all time, the greatest oppressor of all time, the Egyptian Pharaoh. Now is the right time. Have you ever thought why God waited so long before he would deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt? Why so long? Why did he allow Moses to spend 40 years in the backside of the desert doing almost nothing? Well, we said he reared a family. He learned the responsibility of a father, responsibility of a husband, responsibility of leading a family. He needed that quiet time to understand the role, the crucial role that he is to play, for he is to lead the multitude of families in the large family of Israel. God had to prepare the man, and God had to prepare his people. Why did God allow Israel to go through so much hardship? Have you ever wondered why God allows you to go through the trial that he has brought you through? Why so tough? Why so hard? Well, now, we say, the children of Israel would be in a state, in a condition to appreciate the promised inheritance that God would give to them. God prepares us so that we would understand how precious it is. He has given us all things. You know, just after our Christmas service, we were out purchasing something, some dinner, and while closing the door, my finger was outside waving to the person, and the person was closing the door. So my finger was stuck right in between. That was on Friday night. But I thank the Lord that there was no harm. There was a cushion there, a piece of rubber on the door. So my fingers are still intact. As I reflected in the pain, I said, wow, I thank God. My fingers could have been chopped off. I could have been reeling in pain in the hospital with 20 stitches. God has been very merciful. If Israel had not gone through a time of bondage and slavery and hard oppression, do you think they would fully appreciate the inheritance that God would give to them? If you haven't gone through the life that God will bring you on this earth to do His bidding, when you arrived in heaven, would you appreciate what God is doing for you eternally, forever and ever? The heavenly inheritance that He promised for you that will not fade away? We cannot understand, isn't it? And for Moses too, if God were to call him 40 years earlier, when he was still eager and full of strength, would he be in a state of mind with a spiritual demeanor to fulfill the will of God? We all know the answer, isn't it? He was not ready. You recall how he killed the Egyptian. God had to prepare the man spiritually, with a spiritual mindset. Moses described himself as the meekest man on earth. He said that he is the meekest man on earth. Jesus says that, I am meek and lowly in heart. What do you mean by that? It means that you would be willing to humble ourselves to do the Father's will. It's a spiritual demeanor that God seeks to inculcate in our hearts, that we learn the fear of God. We learn the person of God. We know Him so well that He's so good, but He is the Almighty God, and we are His servant. How glorious it is, and how fearful to be before an awesome God. And so, Moses, you would see, would ask some questions to the Lord. He said, "Who am I? Who am I?" He had a, well, you say, a right understanding of who He is. That He is inadequate. God must put us in that position where we understand that our life comes from Him. We owe our being from Him, not of ourselves, you see. Then we would be able to fulfill the life that God has made for us to live, and fulfilled it so well. And so here you see the Lord had to encourage him. He has been brought very low. Almost, we said, down and out. And so in chapter 4, verse 1, the Lord says, "Moses answered and said, But Lord, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. They will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." But you see, that was full of doubt. Not only as to who God is, but full of doubt even in the Word of God. Who God is. God says to him that indeed this will happen. You will be delivered. How is it that he doubted the Word of God? "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice." Well, you'd realize that God has to assure us that He is with us, that He will go before us, that He will prepare us, that He will be with us. We are not alone. And you will see this very consistent way by which our great shepherd leads us along in life's pathway to do His bidding. We just completed our family day, and we were looking at Jesus' last word in His last sermon in John 16:33, when He says to the church in John 16:33, which we have studied, it says here, "These things have I spoken unto you, in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Lord assured His disciples That tribulation will come, but you will overcome. You will have the victory. Look to me. This was the same assurance that God gave to Joshua to lead Israel into the promised land. God said to Joshua, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." He said to Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 8 and verse 19. Then God said to Israel, who were instructed to build a second temple after 70 years of captivity, He spoke to Haggai, the Lord's messenger, "I am with you, saith the Lord." And when the Apostle Paul was in prison in Corinth, facing imminent danger, our Lord assured him and said to him in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Moses needed to learn who he's serving. When our Lord Jesus gave us the Great Commission, He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, all the way, even unto the end of the world. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and that power will go with you as you fulfill the gospel mission." How assuring it is from the Lord. And we need to realize who we are serving. And so you see, before God would send His servant, God would prepare him. We saw in chapter 3 how Moses would ask, "Lord," when they ask, "Who are you?" What do I say? So God had to give him a full course in theology proper, what we say, in order for us to be a useful instrument for the Lord. We must know our God, isn't it? To spend time with His Word. To know Him so well, so that when He brings us to be a witness for Him, we are able to declare and share, who is this living and true God that we are serving? So God prepared His men. And the overarching thought in this 18 verses in chapter 4 is this: the Lord said to Moses, "I am with you always." All the way. And from verse 1 to 9, the Lord would be reinforcing faith to trust God's power. To trust God's ability. The obstacle seem to be insurmountable. Whether it is with your loved ones at home, whom you are trying to reach out to, and you said, "Impossible. I cannot reach him, I cannot reach her, cannot talk, cannot reason. No way." Well, it's not you, isn't it? It's the power of the Lord. And He's given you to be His witness. And so for Moses, he needed to come to understand that it is God who is sending him. Moses had to understand it is God whom he is representing, and not himself. And he needs to be equipped for the task. So God would give to Moses three signs, as it were, to authenticate his power and presence. So Moses learned how to witness for the Lord. Verse 2 says, the Lord said, "What is in thy hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before him. The shepherd's rod was the instrument that God will use to demonstrate his power. At God's command, the rod would be cast and it would turn into a snake, a serpent. In Egyptian courts, in Egyptian worship, the serpent has a very focal, major role in Egyptian worship. How the serpent would wriggle in the sand, and how it would move, and how it would strike its victim. It's an emblem of the might of the land of Egypt. And God will give him this power. The Lord said in verse 4, "Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. The Lord would show him, instruct him by faith how he would defeat the very power of the serpent, the very power of Satan, the devil's power. By the power of God. And so God showed him that he indeed would be the man that would stand before God and Pharaoh to be his representative. And so the Lord said to him, "If they will not believe you, then I will give you a second sign. Put thy hand in thy bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, verse 6. And he took it out. And his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put your hand into the bosom again." And he put his hand into the bosom again and plucked it out. And it was whole again. The sign of the disease, withering hand. God showed his miraculous power to heal an incurable disease. God would show him, and God would ask him to show it as a witness of the power of God, that he has the power to inflict, and he also has that power to heal. And so the Lord said to him in verse 9, "If they will not believe these two signs, then I will give you a third sign. Take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land." And he did that, and the river was turned to blood. Here is a picture of how life turns into a curse. Water, the lifeline The Nile River, the lifeline of Egypt, suddenly was destroyed. A judgment that the Lord would use to bring forth, to show forth His power. You see, why did God allow Moses to have a sign to show him, to demonstrate that power? Did not Jesus said to the Pharisees, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign"? Do you need a sign to believe? You need one sign to show you in order to believe. You will need many signs for you to convince yourself. Dear friends, no. We must take God at His word. And God was teaching and trying to help His servant to understand and see by demonstrating His power before him so that they would believe Him. They would take Him at His word. So that they would not question who He is and His authority. And we see here that Moses indeed was, we said, empowered of the Lord, that he has this, we said, ammunitions to bring before him for war. The Lord equipped him. And in verse 10 he says, "But Lord, I am not eloquent. And since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So now Moses said to the Lord, "I can't speak. I don't know what to say." So now God had to give him what we said in the Bible college, homiletic lesson, to teach him how to preach, to bring him, to give him the confidence that he would go before the Lord to do His bidding. In Acts 7 verse 22, it is described for us that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds. But how is it that Moses at this time cringed at the task before him? Well, we say this, that his confidence in himself has reached rock bottom, and it's good. The Lord wanted him to understand and know that the work that the Lord has for him does not depend on his own ability, does not depend on himself. What the Lord needs is a surrendered vessel for him. So the Lord said to him that, "I will give you the words to speak. Who hath made the mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Or seeing the blind, hath not I the Lord?" The Lord said to him, "Cannot I empower you?" Indeed, when we are faced with a task that God placed before us, we may think that it is so impossible. But when we are surrendered to the Lord, we say that it is the Lord's power. So for the Apostle Paul, it was said of him that his bodily presence is weak, his speech is contemptible, and yet so many were brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, it is not you, but the power of God that is flowing through you. If you will be willing to be an instrument for Him, the Lord seeks your availability more than your ability. He will give you that ability. That is what He says to His disciples. But when they deliver you up, take no thought what you shall speak. It shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. How we need to understand and know that it is not us, but it is the Lord. And finally, the Lord's anger was kindled upon him. Why? Because he still said he will not go. Verse 13, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. So he says, Lord, send someone else. I don't want to go. But you realize that Moses was a reluctant servant, but God would prepare him step by step to take away all his discomforts, his rejections, his reluctance, his resistance. God even offered him to have Aaron to speak on his behalf. This is that Aaron that shaped the golden calf that wrought folly in Israel. Aaron would be a thorn in the side of Moses. God's anger was kindled against him. And the Lord speaks to us that we would understand what His good will is, and that we would overcome ourselves, so that we would be willing to submit to God. And for Moses, God is going to lead him step by step, and God answer each one of his questions. And God was very patient with him. Verse 15, thou shalt put words into him, that is Aaron, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with thy mouth will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be truly thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, but thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So this was the encounter that God had with Moses, where God would allay all his fears. Every hesitant thought that he has, the Lord would debunk. For the call of God to his service is irresistible. We are going to the end of this year and beginning of a new year. And the Lord has prepared his church for service. And work ahead of us. Are you prepared? If the Lord would call upon you, would you be willing? Are you preparing yourself so that when you are called upon, you will be willing to come forward and serve? You would not say, no, I cannot, I'm not willing, I'm not able, I cannot understand. May the Lord prepare us. And he has a good plan to prepare each one of us, by which he sanctifies us by various means, so that we may be ready and fit for the Master's use. I pray that the Lord would prepare his church, that we together would be his body to witness for him in the new year. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Strengthen thy people to understand. Indeed, we are a privileged people. And we have understood the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou hast bidden us to go forth to give this message of love and reconciliation, of peace. And I pray that thou would prepare thy people so that when thy Spirit would prompt us, would call us, we will be ready, we will be a surrendered vessel for thy use. Lord, strengthen thy people and help us. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.